नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Can switch out the fan. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, Talks between Narada and King Prachin Barhahi, verse number 49. Astirya Darbe Pragagre Katsnena Shiti Mandalam Stabdo Bhrat Vadanmani Karma Navaishiyat Karam Tat Karma Haritoshamya Savidyatan Matiryaya Astirya Darbhai Pragagre Kasnena Shiti Mandalam Stabdo Bhrat Vadanmani Karma Navaishiyat Param Tat Karma Haritoshamyat Savidya Tanmatiryaya Astirya Darbe Pragagre Katsena Shiti Mandalam Stabdo Bhrat Vadanmani Karma Navaishiyat Param Tat Karma Haritoshamyat Savidya Tanmatiryaya. Please chant. Astirya Darbe Pragagre Savidya Tanmatiryaya Astirya Darbe Pragagre Asena Shiti Mandalam Stabdo Brihad Vadanmani Karma Navaishiyat Param Tat Karma Haritosham Yad Sa Vidya Tan Matiryaya Astirya Darbe Pragagre Katsena Shiti Mandalam Stabdo Brahad Vadan Mani Karma Naishiyat Param Tat Karma Haritosham Yat Savidya Tanmatiryaya. Matajis Astirya Darbe Pragagre Sena Shiti Mandalam Sabdo Brihad Vadanmani कर्मानावैषियत् परम् तत्कर्मा हरि तोषमिदत् साविद्या तन्मतीर्यया।
वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग आस्तीर्य हैविंग कवर्ड दर्भय बाय कुशाग्रास प्राक अग्रे विद द पॉइंट्स फेसिंग ईस्ट कात्सेना ऑल टुगेदर क्षितिमंडलम द सरफेस ऑफ द वर्ल्ड स्तब्ध प्राउड अपस्टार्ट बृहद ग्रेट वदाद बाय किलिंग मानी थिंकिंग योरसेल्फ वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट कर्म एक्टिविटी नावैशी यू डू नॉट नो यत विच परम सुप्रीम तत दैट कर्म एक्टिविटी हरितोषम सैटिस्फाइंग द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड यत विच सा दैट विद्या एजुकेशन तत अनटू द लॉर्ड मति कॉन्शियसनेस यया बाय विच ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन माय डियर किंग द एंटायर वर्ल्ड इज कवर्ड विद द शार्प पॉइंट्स ऑफ कुशा ग्रास एंड ऑन द स्ट्रेंथ ऑफ दिस यू हैव बिकम प्राउड बिकॉज यू हैव किल्ड various types of animals in sacrifices. Because of your foolishness, you do not know that devotional service is the only way one can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You cannot understand this fact. Your only activities should be those that can please the Personality of Godhead. Our education should be such that we can become elevated to Krishna consciousness. Purport. In this verse, the great sage Narad Muni directly insults the king because he was engaged in performing sacrifices that entailed the killing of a great number of animals. The king was thinking that he was great for having performed so many sacrifices. But the great sage Narada directly chastises him, informing him that his animal killing only leads to his being puffed up with false prestige. Actually, anything that is done which does not lead to Krishna consciousness is a sinful activity. And any education that does not lead one to understand Krishna is false education. If Krishna consciousness is missing, one is simply engaged in false activities and false educational pursuits.
Om Agyan Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama नमः ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
असीम कृष्ण ये फैन बंद कर। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 29 वर्स नंबर 49। ट्रांसलेशन। माय डियर किंग, द एंटायर वर्ल्ड इज कवर्ड विद द शार्प पॉइंट्स ऑफ कुशाग्रास एंड ऑन द स्ट्रेंथ ऑफ दिस यू हैव बिकम प्राउड बिकॉज यू हैव किल्ड वेरियस टाइप्स ऑफ एनिमल्स इन सैक्रिफाइसेस। Because of your foolishness, you do not know that devotional service is the only way one can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You cannot understand this fact. Your only activities should be those that can please the Personality of Godhead. Our education should be such that we can become elevated to Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. So we are reading this talks between Narad Muni and King Barisat. Up till now, Srila Narad Muni had indirectly given lots of hints to the king that what he is doing is not what he is supposed to do. But he is supposed to practice devotional service. In spite of giving indirect hints and an allegory of King Puranjan, the King Barisat did not understand it well. So not only Narad Muni explained it, but now what he wants to tell in this verse, he tells directly that you are a fool. King Barisat, he engaged in fruitive activities, yajna, fire sacrifices, in which animals were being killed. And he engaged in these sacrifices 24/7. Lots of sacrifices he did. It is said that by the time one sacrifice would get completed, he would start another one at a nearby location. This is not easy, to do a sacrifice. Invite brahmanas, panditas, guests, cooks, to chant mantras, to pour oblations. It's like we completing one ratyatra and starting another ratyatra regularly. It's a big event. So for the king, he was so busy in engaging in so many yajnas, so many fire sacrifices and killing so many animals in each of the sacrifice. And he was thinking, wow, did a great job. Nobody has done so many sacrifices. The locations in which he did so many sacrifices were spread all over the earth planet. Narad Muni said there were kushagras all over the earth planet. Kushagras is used in the sacrifice, pointing east. He perfectly executed all these sacrifices and killed so many animals, and he got proud out of it. The foolishness here is that he got proud of those activities which he was not supposed to do. He got pride of those activities which actually did not give him ultimate success. And over and above, he killed so many animals, so many sinful activities he performed. So instead of being embarrassed, instead of having shame, instead of fearing the sinful reactions, instead of fearing his reservation in hellish planets, he got proud of, I did so many sacrifices. But as Narad Muni says, he will not understand this. This is situation of not only King Parishad with every materialistic person. He gets pride of whatever he does and thinks he has done a great job. But he does not know he is supposed to do something else. He is supposed to do devotional service. Once Narad Muni, he met Mrigadi. Mrigadi was a hunter, very expert hunter, who used to kill animals half dead. And when the animals in pain used to wither and cry and full of blood, he used to enjoy that suffering. So feeling compassionate, Narad Muni wanted to know, after he saw a few animals half dead, that who did this. So he went forward and approached Mrigadi and asked him, "Did you do this?" And Mrigadi thought, "I am going to get a Nobel Prize." He said, "Yes, yes, I did it. I killed them like this." So Mrigadi was in ignorance. He didn't have knowledge that what he did was sinful. And he was proud of what he did. That I did a good job. I did a nice job. In Letter of Instruction, Prabhupada gives the example of a frog who croaks. And what does he think? I am singing. And in future I am going to sing a duet. He is proud of his singing. He is happy of his singing, thinking he did a good job. But actually what is he doing? He does not know. He is so foolish. That is attracting the snake. He is requesting the snake, "Please come and eat me." The donkey who carries so much load, "I am doing a great job. I am carrying the load. If I don't carry the load, who will help my master?" But he is foolish. He doesn't know why he is carrying the load. What is the use of carrying this load? The grass is available without carrying the load. What he is doing is shrama eva hi kevalam. A big businessman spreading his empire of business in this planet, opening factories and units. He wants his sales representatives everywhere. Like King Parishad wanted Kushagras everywhere. He wants his products in everybody's hands, in every shops. But he doesn't know this expansion, the more and more he is expanding, the more and more he is entangling. He is getting into entanglement. He thinks, "I am doing a great job." There was a recent World Cup. And the team which won the World Cup, they are thinking they did a great job. They are very proud of it. That we chased behind a ball, we protected 3 stumps by our bat, and we did a big job. But they don't know, they wasted their time. What did they achieve? A cup? Or fame? Or victory? But this pursuit was false, because that doesn't give Krishna. That doesn't give the ultimate goal of life. So all such materialistic activities will definitely give rise to pride to whoever performs them. It is said even a pauper is proud of his penny. Even a beggar gets a 5-rupee coin, he will be proud that today I got a 5-rupee coin. And that pride is entanglement of Maya. We have a very nice example of Prithu Maharaj, who also did sacrifices, just as King Parishad is engaged in sacrifices. Prithu Maharaj wanted to do 100 horse sacrifices. That was his target, quota, 100 horse sacrifices. King Indra also had earlier performed these 100 horse sacrifices and became famous. So he was afraid that he will get a competitor. So he wanted to stop this 100 horse sacrifices. King Pruthu successfully completed 99 horse sacrifices. And the last one, King Indra created so much disturbance that with his power he introduced lots of adharma, lots of irreligion in the name of religion. He stole the horses in the garb of a sannyasi. But King Pruthu Maharaj was determined to complete his 100 sacrifices. At that time, Lord Brahma appeared on the scene. Actually, King Pruthu Maharaj managed to have Brahmanas chant a mantra to kill Indra. But Lord Brahma appeared and he told, don't chant this mantra. Don't kill Indra. You be happy with your 99 sacrifices and do not perform the 100th one. At the same time, I bless you, you will get the result of all the 100 sacrifices. You will become more famous, more powerful than Indra. And not only that, Vishnu personally appeared to bless Pruthu Maharaj. So we see King Pruthu was not behind numbers, the number 100, like King Barisat is behind numbers. But he is behind pleasing Krishna. So even though his numbers was not great, he didn't perform 100, but still Vishnu was pleased. In this modern scenario, everybody's success or character or victory is judged by numbers. How many? This is mechanistic. This is because of present science and mathematics. We want to measure success, yardstick of success, quantity. That's okay, but somewhere quality gets slipped. If quantity is there, then everything is going nicely. They say business means numbers, by hook or crook. So the character gets lost, the honesty gets lost, the quality gets slipped. And the quality of our activities means that Krishna should be pleased. If by one's activity he is getting proud and Krishna is not being pleased, then he is called fool. Then he is called foolish. First of all, Krishna is not pleased, which means what he is doing he is not supposed to do. He is supposed to do something else. That is one failure. Another is, he is getting proud of what he is doing, which he is not supposed to do. That is another failure. It's double illusion. Illusion ke upar aur ek illusion. One more illusion. So that pride, it will lead to a fall. That's why Narad Muni continues to say to the king that it is very important that education of a person elevates him in Krishna consciousness. If a person is not educated in spiritual knowledge, then he will keep on performing activities which do not contribute to his spiritual life. So he will waste his human form of life and then he will become proud of those activities. So he'll perform sinful activities. In fact, all activities which do not contribute to spiritual life, which do not contribute to Krishna consciousness, are sinful activities. Even if they are called pious, even if they are called punya, they are actually sinful. Even if they make a person go to heaven and enjoy heavenly pleasures, they are sinful because they entangle. They bound the jiva, even punya, religious activities, they bound the jiva in the material world. Binding the jiva means obstructing liberation, obstructing the ultimate goal of life. So if anything obstructs the ultimate goal of life, is unfavorable, is to be rejected, is against Krishna, it's against the will of the Lord, so it is sinful. So Narad Muni here, he directly chastises the king, which is very appropriate for a spiritual master like Narad Muni to do. As we heard before, that knowing the king's exalted position, Narad Muni was mild, indirectly telling a story, giving a hints, explaining him. But now he directly told him, what is wrong with you? That you are killing so many animals. And he chastised him. And this chastisement, this heavy insult is required for a person to come out of the clutches of material nature, to come out of his illusion, to come out of his ignorance. We have a similar example of Vidura. Vidura also very heavily insulted Dhritarashtra. He compared to him as a dog. His own king, earlier king, and elder brother, Vidura told him that you are a dog in the house of Yudhishthira Maharaj, fed by Bhima, who is throwing boti at you. And you are thinking, oh, it is so nice, I am being fed here. People call me Maharaj. You are so happy, somebody calling him Maharaj. They are still thinking, I am the king. I am elder, Kuru. They are taking my advice. They are giving me a nice, comfortable home. But Bhima is the one who killed your 100 sons. You are at their mercy. So somehow by these talks, Dhritarashtra's illusion broke and he understood that I am not supposed to stay here, but I am supposed to retire, perform austerities, perform penances, repent for my sinful past and get liberated. With the help of Vidura, he went to the forest. He performed austerities and penances and finally he got liberated. He went back home, back to Godhead. Just like a surgeon, when he has to operate to remove the infection, pain will be there. One cannot say, do things without pain, do operation without pain. Pain will be there. One has to tolerate it because it will remove the infection. In the same way, if a spiritual master chastises, it may be hurtful and painful, but it will remove the infection. If Krishna gives reversal in the life of a devotee, it is very painful and hurtful, but it will remove the anartha. It will put the devotee on from deviated path to undeviated path. Because even in sadhana bhakti, we continue to be attached. We continue to be attached to few things which are obstacles for our spiritual growth. So to remove this attachment, this pain is required. It is like this. Imagine you are in a room and you have an unwanted guest who is not going. What will you do? Nothing. Don't feed him. Still he is not going. Request him, please go. Still he is not going. Kick him, get out. In the same way, we are an unwanted person in the material world. And Krishna says, go. We say, no. So finally he has to kick us. So this kick is good. When material nature kicks us, it is good. Why? Because then we will go out. Will go back home, back to Godhead. So if there is misery, if there is trouble, if there is reversal, should thank Krishna. We should not get agitated or disturbed. We should thank Krishna. That you told me in Bhagavatam class to go, but I didn't go. Because Bhagavatam class, there are no kicks. There is request. But when we don't learn from a class, then we learn outside the class. That is called tuition. If you don't learn in school, you have to learn in tuition. And tuition you have to pay heavy fees. School is not so much fees. So tuition you have to have heavy miseries. But even somebody doesn't learn in tuition, then crash course. Then there are crashes. And that is very heavy. So we have to learn somewhere. Somewhere we have to learn, that we have to go out. So either we learn in class, which is by hearing, or we learn by others' experience, or we learn by our own experience. So such reversals, we should thank the Lord, that my dear Lord, thank you very much. I am grateful that this will help me to go back to you. And one should tolerate it. Lord Brahma in his prayer says that one who tolerates his miseries, knowing well that this miseries, I am the cause of this miseries, and at the same time serves Krishna, he inherits liberation, daya bhak, he inherits liberation. He gets a rightful claim to go back to Vaikuntha. Just as a father, such as a son inherits the property of the father. So whatever situations may happen, it is for our benefit. This much faith we should have on Krishna, that I have surrendered to Krishna, or I am in the process of surrendering to Krishna. Whatever happens with me is by Krishna's mercy. And I should not leave his shelter. I should continue to serve him. There are so many examples of devotees who received so much misery in their life, but they didn't leave shelter of Krishna. What did the Pandavas experience whole life? Only at the end they were victorious. Till that, they experienced so many reversals in their life, but they didn't leave shelter of Krishna. They didn't leave Krishna. They were always attached to his lotus feet. And that is how they are great. So such insults, such reversals are prescribed for our spiritual growth. So one should not get disturbed. One should tolerate them. And one should go ahead in spiritual life. King Bharesat, when he is receiving this, he will also change when he is hearing from Narad Muni. Though it is difficult for him, but he will understand. Understand that Krishna is not pleased by fruitive activities. Krishna is not pleased by tapasya. Krishna is not pleased by knowledge, but he is pleased by love. Bhaktya mam abhijananti. Arjuna, only those who are in practicing undivided devotional service or unalloyed devotional service can understand me as I am standing in front of you. Krishna so many times declares that one can understand him only through the process of devotional service, only with the help of other pure devotees. There is no other way. And Prabhupada says, this is a fact. This is not something which is a scientific invention by a fertile brain. Krishna himself has mentioned that he can be conquered by love. There is no other way. And we see the classic example in Vrindavan. The gopis, the cowherd boys, the cows, the elderly gopis, mothers, and other cowherd men, they all are so attached to Krishna in love. They are not doing any penance. They are not gathering any Vedic knowledge. They are not performing any yajnas. Out of their own spontaneous feelings, they are attracted to Krishna. And Krishna is so pleased with them in Vrindavan. He is not as pleased with devotees in other locations, Mathura, Dwarka, as he is pleased in Vrindavan. Because of the spontaneous feeling. The cows will just come and lick Krishna with their tongues. Why they will lick Krishna? Any answer? Why they will lick Krishna? Is it devotional service to lick? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, and the 9, right? This is the 10th one, licking. Is it devotional service? No, but Krishna is pleased. Why? Because that is a natural activity. Calves are licking, so they lick Krishna. They lick anybody who goes. But when they lick Krishna, Krishna is pleased. That means we follow them, we start licking Krishna. Krishna is pleased. But just by some spontaneous feelings of love, any activity Krishna is pleased. Kubja, she approached Krishna for because of her lustful propensities. She just applied some sandalwood pulp to Krishna. And Krishna is pleased. The tailor just gave some garments and Krishna gave liberation in Mathura. The flower maker just offered some garlands and worship. Krishna is pleased. just by few simple activities. Krishna is a simple cowherd boy in a simple village and pleased by very simple heart and simple activities. Let's not make it complicated. So just by spontaneous attraction, spontaneous feelings of love, Krishna is pleased. So nothing less than pure devotional service can help us to be successful in spiritual life. Lord Kapila, he describes this pure devotional service, the process of pure devotional service in third canto. He also describes mixed devotional service to Mother Devuti. He says there are three types of mixed devotional service, three broad categories. One is devotional service in mode of ignorance, mode of passion, and mode of goodness. So that devotional service in which the practitioner, the devotee, is envious, is in anger, is proud, and is violent. Envious to other devotees or living entities, or even to Krishna. Proud that he is practicing devotional service. Anger because of unfulfilled desires. And violent, physical beating, violence. Violence also means obstructing others' spiritual growth. It's not just physical beating. If somebody obstructs others' spiritual growth, that is also violence. And he is a separatist. Separatist means his desire to serve Krishna is different than Krishna's desire. He is desiring to serve Krishna for his own self-satisfaction. He has a personal desire to fulfill, a personal ambition or a personal motivation. Srila Prabhupada made a statement that this movement will be spoiled when leaders have personal ambitions or when devotees have personal ambitions, spoiled from within. So, separatist is that. So, a person who is proud, envious, angry, and violent, and has a separatist mentality, that practitioner's performance in Krishna consciousness is called devotional service in mode of ignorance. Though he is a Vaishnava, one should respect him as a Vaishnava, but his character is such that he cannot be associated. Then there is devotional service in mode of passion. When a performs devotional service for name, fame, adoration, respect, profit, riches, wealth, followers, and having a separatist mentality, that is devotional service in mode of passion. He wants to gain something positive, gain material, sense gratification. Then there is devotional service in mode of goodness, where a practitioner is looking forward to get relief from material miseries, dukkha, material difficulties. And then there is pure devotional service, even beyond mode of goodness, where the attraction towards Lord Krishna is natural, it doesn't require any reason. Just as water flows from higher level to lower level, or just a river flows towards the ocean, very natural. The same way, the jiva's consciousness should very naturally get attracted to Krishna's lotus feet. That is pure devotional service. And Kapila Muni continues to characterize and glorify the process of pure devotional service. So that is what one has to achieve. One may not have it initially, but that is the aim. Nothing less than that. Then only one can enter the Vaikuntha planets and associate with the Lord and engage in loving activities, loving service with Him. So if one is not educated on this path, then all his education is false. That education is not education. That vidya is avidya. When a small child is born, he is in ignorance. But he happily comes to the temple with his parents. But once he goes to school and colleges, even you invite him, he does not come. So he is better without education. At least he comes to the temple, takes charanamrita, sees the deities, sits, participates in kirtan, runs around. But later on he has a bike and he has no time. Or he has a girlfriend, he has to go to college. So from where does this, he gets this ignorance, which he doesn't have in the childhood. Childhood he doesn't deny entry in the temple. But college or school days he denies. This ignorance comes from his education. from these colleges and universities and IITs and IIMs. Avidya is being fed in this. A person is becoming atheistic. He has no longer interest in God. Once they start studying science, they start doubting. They start doubting their own father. Does my father exist? They don't think I am existing, so he has to exist, the Supreme Father. But they start doubting once they start this education. So this is false education. This is avidya. This has no value in Krishna consciousness. This takes one away from Krishna. Real education is when one understands that his relationship with Krishna, three things: who is he, who is Krishna, and what is his relationship with Krishna. When one understands he is soul, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, that is real education. Everything else is false. All activities which do not contribute to one's spiritual life are sinful and false activities. And all educational pursuits which do not contribute one's desire to serve Krishna, eagerness to serve Krishna or go towards Krishna is false. Even all religious activities, so-called religious activities, if they don't bring one to the ultimate aim of life, that is also false. Real religion is characterized by three items: Name Ruchi, Jive Daya, Vaishnava Seva. Taste in the holy name, chanting of holy name of the Lord, eagerness to serve Vaishnavas, and compassion for all living entities, or love and friendship with all living entities. This characterizes real religion. Any process of religious activity which does not enhance these three qualities in a practitioner, that is not real religion. If one is not getting attachment to the Lord, if one is not developing love for other living entities, if one is not developing respect for other devotees of the Lord, then that is not real religion. And such pseudo-religions are so many. Such pseudo-practitioners are so many. Such pseudo-spiritual groups are so many and organizations are so many, only sitting to collect donations. We should not get associated with such people. Neither we should become such. We should try to follow this path in such a way that we develop these real characteristics. Then only our efforts, our endeavors in spiritual life are successful. All else is a failure. And on the top of failure there is pride. I did this. We have so many numbers for ourselves. Just like King Barisat, he became proud. So many yajnas I did. So many locations I went. I traveled all over the globe. All the locations I did so many yajnas. But that didn't generate any Krishna consciousness. So if something does not generate Krishna consciousness, it is of no value. But some small service, however insignificant it may be, if that generates Krishna consciousness, it is of greatest value. So we should be engaged like that. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or comments, we can take. Mike?
You know, thanks for this nice class. You know, I want to just confirm that you were saying that even punya karma also like sinful. You know, is that?
Hmm.
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yesham Tondakatam Papam Jananam Punya Karma Nam, you know, like that. And you know, you also in next, after 15 minutes, you also smash sinful activities, those who are engaged. I also say that punya karma also kind of sinful. You would like to explain it?
I'll read one statement from this purport first. Actually, anything that is done which does not lead to Krishna consciousness is a sinful activity. And any education that does not lead one to understand Krishna is false education. So if somebody is doing a fruitive activity, and if indirectly it helps that jiva to come to Krishna, then it is not sinful. But if it does not lead him to Krishna consciousness, it is sinful. If Krishna is not pleased, it is sinful. It has no value. Sin here is not just described as hurting other living entities or doing bad things. Sin here is anything which does not fulfill the will of the Lord. The real sin, the actual sin, is forgetfulness of Krishna. So anything you do in the consciousness of forgetting Krishna, that is sin. Right? So this definition of sin is the original sin, where you have forgotten Krishna. Now after forgetting Krishna, you do lots of good activities. There is no meaning to it. Because the consciousness is sinful. You have forgotten Krishna. So that is the meaning. Like Ravana, he did lots of austerities. He was so expert pandita. But he's asura. Forgot Krishna. He's against Krishna. So even if you do good activities against Krishna, they are sinful. Because they're going against the will of the Lord. They're going against the creation. Suppose, imagine you make a parallel government in Bombay and do everything good for the people which the government is supposed to do. Will that be accepted? It will be considered a crime. Even if you are doing good for the people, which government is supposed to. Because you are going against the government. Material example. So if you go against Krishna's will, against Krishna, the purpose of our existence in this creation is to get liberated. When we act against that purpose, if you do fruitive activities, you are not liberated, you are entangled. Karma means karmaphala. Karma phala means entanglement. So when we get entangled, we are going against the purpose of existence, which is liberation. We are going against the flow, against the Lord's creations, the purpose of creation. So that is sinful. Okay?
You know, what is the difference between demons and fruitival activists?
If we have to make a differentiation minus Krishna, then it is how you are contributing to the society. If you are contributing positively to the society, it is not demonic. If you are contributing negatively to the society, it is demonic. But when we see from a higher perspective, whether you are contributing to spiritual or not, then both are same. Like in Chaitanya Chaitanya Krishna, Kaviraj Goswami says, auspicious and unauspicious, good and bad, sweat stool and dry stool. So both are same. Right? So when you are seeing from the angle of a samaj, society, it looks like this is okay, at least he is peaceful. It's like one child is doing naughty activities, other child is quiet, but both are not going to school. Which is better? Huh? Oh, he is naughty, he is bad, and he is quiet, he is good. Are both are not going to school. Their job is to go to school, school time. So our job is to get liberated. That is the purpose of existence and creation. But one is quiet and one is disturbing the society. It seems, oh, this is better. At least not disturbing the society. But both are not doing the purpose. Right? It's like that. So when you are not fulfilling the purpose of the Lord, then you are opposite to the Lord. So that is sinful. Okay? Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Lord Buddha stopped the animal sacrifice in Indian continent. But thereafter, in the West, in the times of King Solomon and King David, before Moses, after Moses, they were doing huge sacrifice. If you read the Old Testament of Bible, every page seems to be the inventory of a slaughterhouse. There are so many animals of different varieties are sacrificed. And when Jesus Christ came, he stopped this sacrifice. But again, from the time of Muhammad, the goat sacrifice, Bakrid, and everything started. So the location of sacrifices are changing, but the sacrifices have not stopped. What is your comments about this?
There is nothing to comment. It's true. Lord Buddha, he stopped. But we see, whenever the Lord has established dharma, it has happened after a few years or few decades, the adharma has come. That is the nature of two, Kali and time. This universe is made such that as the time progresses, things degrade. And the influence of Kali Yuga is such that the degradation gets acceleration. They fastly degrade. So Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita and established Yudhishthira Maharaj. For what? To establish Dharma. But after hardly 100 years, Yudhishthira Maharaj left the kingdom and Kali entered Parikshit. Just one generation. Yudhishthira Maharaj next was Parikshit Maharaj and Kali entered at that time. I think 36 years or so. So we will think that Lord Krishna established Dharma. He killed so many people just for 36 years. After that, Kali entered. So time is such that it degrades everything. And Kali Yuga things will degrade. So nowadays, forget sacrifices. The word sacrifice has been replaced by slaughter. Every location there are slaughterhouses. Earlier it was for higher purpose, going to heavenly planets. Now it's for meat eating, taste of the tongue. So it is more degraded. And it will more degrade. Kali Yuga will be such that people will eat each other. More than that, people will have sex so that they can eat the fetus. So they will have quick pregnancy and quick delivery. So that there is fast food corner. Such things will happen. It's going to be more degraded. So better to be out of this. As ASAP, as early as possible. Better to practice Krishna consciousness, save ourselves. Yeah, one more question.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
It is said that Prithu Maharaj is the incarnation of God. So my question is that how can a God do such sacrifices?
This doing sacrifice is not wrong. Doing sacrifice for Vishnu is a prescribed process to please Vishnu. That is called yajna. Doing sacrifices for one's own personal sense gratification or to elevate heavenly planets is not recommended as compared to pure devotional service.
God do such things?
He was not doing for going to heavenly planets. He was doing to please Vishnu. Right? Even Yudhishthira Maharaj did Rasuya sacrifice. Lord Ramchandra did. All the kings, they do yajna. If you do yajna, then you get rain. If you get rain, then you get grains. But people don't have these brains. So yajna is important to do, but it should be pleasing Vishnu. But if you do yajna for election...
So present time, it is not possible. Politics, present time, this time.
Present time we also do yajna. That's why so much rain is coming. That's why Sankirtan yajna.
Sacrifices?
That is why Sankirtan yajna. Present sacrifice, in Kali Yuga the yajna recommended is Sankirtan yajna. It is not Swaha, right? It is Hare Krishna. So the more we do Hari Nams, the more we do chanting of Hare Krishna, the more rains will come. So anywhere there are no rains, we should do this yajna, Sankirtan yajna. If this stops, then rains will stop. Then grains will stop. Right? So present time sacrifice is Sankirtan yajna, Hari Nam Sankirtan. Okay? So yajna is a bona fide activity for pleasing Vishnu. Not for winning the cricket match or not for winning the election campaign. Okay? Hare Krishna. We'll end there. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.